This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
All right, we're going to take a look at this first story about long names, Lynn. A bit like this extremely long name of a Welsh village. Try to catch it in this weather report.
But in the sunshine in northwest Wales at RAF Mona, just up the road from Llanbair Pwllgwyng, Llgogerech Wyndrobwch, Llantysilio Gogogoch, the temperature got to 21 Celsius, that's 70 in Fahrenheit.
That's far too many syllables than I was expecting for a name of a place.
That was impressive, though. I mean, like...
But also sort of the guttural, throaty bits, because, I mean, you can be lazy and sort of steamroll through those.
But... No, but clearly that weatherman wasn't about laziness, and neither should we be, because earlier this week we spoke about how constitutional lawyer Nizam Bashe warned the National Registration Department not to overstep its jurisdiction when it came to registering new births. So we had a whole conversation about that, because that happened after a senior NRD officer recently said that the department would not be allowing names that are more than 80 characters and also prohibiting certain Muslim names from using their common short forms like MOHD or ABD.
Should have told a lot of folks that in the 80s when they sort of shorthanded, the spelling of Mohammed to MOHD, right? I mean, we're going back. It's kind of like our education policy. We're just going back and forth.
Yeah. And now we're going in just a completely different direction with this.
So an update of sorts on that story. I'm going to say this right. Princess Aura Noor Ermeli Amara Olia Bidadari Nawal El Zendra Binti Muhammad Sufyan's name is the longest in the country. Excluding Binti, which means daughter of, the name is made up of 63 characters and 12 words.
That's right. So Princess Aura has erased the previous record, which was held by Noor Fatania Taria Karima Farwiza Zahbia Shahira Binti Irol Anizam in 2004.
I mean, I thought Princess Aura's name was difficult. So news of Princess Aura's name has sparked numerous reactions on social media. Most of those who reacted were either bewildered or amused. On the Star Online Facebook page, one user pointed out that Princess Aura would have difficulty filling up her full name, in official documents.
Do they have enough of the boxes? They should, right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think even for public examinations what that particular experience would look like, because, I don't know if it's done the same way, but it used to be that you need to sort of shade in all the right letters in for...
Well, that will take 30 minutes.
At least.
So on Twitter, some commentators were more sympathetic towards Princess Aura's future husband, who will have to ensure that he can recite her full name during the wedding solemnization ceremony.
Yeah,
he better get that down pat.
Yeah, I think a lot of breathing from the diaphragm, perhaps. Mohammad Razin also revealed at the 2018 National Registration Day celebration of other interesting facts about names registered with the department. He said the top three most popular male names were Ismail, Ahmad, and Abdullah. And Ismail is registered to about 72,000 odd people. Ahmad and Abdullah, about 57 odd thousand and 47,000 individuals, respectively.
The most popular female name is Fatima. That's 74,000 individuals, followed by Zainab at 41,000 odd and Aziza at 34,000 odd. Neither Princess Aura's name nor Fatania's name have either of those, any of those names involved. So, there is an element of uniqueness here, I think, aside from length.
A unique anomaly, perhaps. Mm. There have been a few studies in Europe and America about the bizarre ways in which a name can affect behavior. Research has shown people at least in the Western world, are more likely to choose careers with labels that most resemble their name. Dennis or Denise, for example, are overrepresented among dentists. I'm going to say this one more time. Dennis or Denise are overrepresented among dentists. And here are some other associations that people tend to make with their name.
A recent study of undergraduate students found when you work in a group, sharing initials with other members of that group increases the overall quality of your work. Bizarrely, the study was authored by three researchers by the names of Pullman, Pullman, and Pullman. They suggest this is caused by the name letter effect, where we have a preference for the letters in our names. We write our names thousands of times throughout our life, so the more we are merely exposed to something, like those letters, the more we like it. It's also known as the mere exposure effect. One study in the 1980s showed people more often ranked letters belonging to their name as their most preferred letters of the alphabet.
We're deep diving into this issue, aren't we?
We are. I have always liked the alphabet L. And that kind of explains it. Yeah, I'm just a narcissist, apparently. Princess Aura, though, has almost all the letters of the alphabet in her name. She is the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog of a name.
Yes.
So she might have a tough time zooming in on a favorite letter, but, you know, there you go.
So where have we landed on what are the parameters of what is permissible or acceptable with regards to naming in this country? Are we just going with a
So
a
it's 80, 80 characters is that limiting? The limit.
Is that limiting?
Well, I mean, Princess Aura's is, what was it, 63? So I
think there's enough room.
I think so. Okay.
Just
for
wanted
experimentation.
To make sure. Just wanted to make sure for those folks who want to go with the full 80.
And nothing in there was objectionable. Certainly not Princess, nor Bidadari, nor any of the rest of the, you know, rather lovely names. I think it sounds to me a little bit more like there were just a lot of names they liked and they wanted to kind of fit as many as they could.
Yeah, it's fascinating because you'd think with just the way things are, people, I think when through a trend of shortening things, you know.
Your name is pretty short.
Well, I think in the 80s, it might have been just sort of the standard, you know, five names. My full name is Muhammad Ezra bin Muhammad Zayed. I mean, it's a classic. You know, it's nothing entirely unique of kids of that generation. But I think folks who've just sort of migrated to the one name thing, you know, this is a lot to process. Okay, we've got more disquieting news on this front. A global investigation into Russian state-sponsored cyber espionage revealed that the Aegis Chambers and Royal Malaysian Police were targeted by hackers.
Here you have evidence of the Russian military launching a cyber attack on the very organization, the international organization in the Netherlands, set up to investigate those Novichok attacks. And why would you do that if you weren't the guilty party? The reality is that this is part of a pattern of cyber attacks in the UK, the US, Malaysia, Switzerland, now the Netherlands.
So that was British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt. According to the BBC, the motive for the cyber attacks on Malaysian authorities was over the multinational investigation into Russia's role in the downing of Flight MH17.
Right. Russian hackers' activities were exposed following the seizure of laptops from four suspects briefly detained in the Netherlands, from which investigators discovered their use in four global locations, including Malaysia.
The report did not reveal the nature of the cyber attacks or whether these were successful. For context, this is, you know, larger. We were, of course, involved and now it's a big thing. But it's a bigger thing than that even because Russia stands accused of various espionage schemes, both in cyberspace and in the real world. And that includes attempts to mask the extent of its involvement in the missile launch that brought down the Malaysian plane in 2014.
The BBC report also said countries worldwide, including the United States, the UK, Canada and the Netherlands, suspect that Moscow coordinated various espionage attacks that span, you know, election hacking, disrupting anti-doping probes and an attack on an American nuclear power firm. Here's a bit of audio from a BBC video explaining who Russian spy agency GRU is and some of the operations they've been accused with so far.
The GRU is the intelligence arm of the Russian military. It's different from the other intelligence agencies in Russia, what used to be the KGB and is now the SVR and FSB. It's been there for decades and its job is to carry out undercover military operations and collect intelligence around the world. In the last few years, we've seen the GRU allegedly become involved in much more risky, aggressive operations, involvement undercover in Ukraine, in the struggle there. The GRU's been accused of direct involvement in the hacking of the 2016 American presidential election. The British government has claimed that the two people who poisoned Sergei Skripal and others were officers in the GRU, so were working directly as part of the GRU's chain of command. The Prime Minister said that this wasn't a rogue operation but was authorised not just within the GRU but at higher reaches of the Russian state.
Should either of these individuals ever again travel outside Russia, we will take every possible step to detain them.
It's telling that in the last few years,
Yeah, now, I guess what we need to sort of focus on is that, you know, Russia has denied all the claims, including that Western rivals were prejudiced in their view of the country. There was a statement coming out of Moscow saying it's unclear who is supposed to believe these statements accusing Russian citizens of attempting to mount cyber attacks and trying to obtain data related to MH17 as if it is necessary to be near the target of your attack.
Yeah, basically saying, hey, you Luddites, you don't know how hacking works.
Yeah,
leave us alone.
Leave us alone on this.
So, I mean, In case there's a need of a refresher, MH17 was shot down on July 17th, 2014, while flying over eastern Ukraine as it was heading from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur. All 283 passengers and 15 crew members were killed.
Yeah, the joint investigation team headed by the Dutch Ministry of Justice eventually indicated the plane may have been downed by pro-Russian rebels fighting against the Ukraine government, which Moscow has denied. Earlier, we were talking about really long names. We asked for thoughts about what you think. We got an interesting WhatsApp message.
Yes, from Do, who says, keep it simple, stupid, or K-I-S-S, for the sake of the child's future. we would love to know what you think. Do you think that names perhaps should be kept simple, or is it more to do with parents can name their children anything they want and we shouldn't be limiting freedom of expression? That number to call, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Paul Jambunathan, friend of the station,
yes.
And someone who also sent in his own full name the other day.
Says, oh, did he?
Yes, he did.
Oh, fantastic.
Let's see if we can pick that up. So Paul's full name is Paul Kiramadipadi. I'm not sure if I did that right. Anatlaki Jambunathan. So not
fantastic.
A short name.
Fantastic.
However, he wanted us to know that the Guinness World Record for the longest name used by anyone ever was set by, I'm going to give this a go.
We're going to go splitsies if you get tired midway.
I'll stop at Lloyd.
Okay.
Adolf Blaine, Charles David, Earl Frederick, Gerald Hubert, Irvin, John, Kenneth Lloyd.
Martin, Nero, Oliver, Paul, Quincy, Randolph, Sherman, Thomas, Uncas, Victor, William,
Cersei's,
Yancey. I'm just gonna... Well, I don't even know how to say that. It's a very long word.
Yes, it is. But
that person resides in Philadelphia.
Yes, yes, he does. I mean, let us know. Have you encountered really long names? Do you yourself have a very long name? Call us, 7733 2900. 018-789-8899 is that number to WhatsApp, and you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Our next story, though, is all about selfies.
But first, let me take a selfie.
More than 250 people worldwide have died taking selfies in the last 6 years. That's a lot of people dying from selfies. According to a new study from researchers associated with the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, it's a group of public medical colleges based in New Delhi.
Now, the leading cause of death was drowning, followed by incidents involving transport, for example, taking a selfie in front of an oncoming train, falling from heights. Other causes of selfie-related death include animals, firearms, and electrocution. I would just like to point out that none of these are pleasant ways to go.
Yeah. The lead author of the study says that the selfie deaths have become a major public health problem. India, for example, had the highest number of deaths of all countries, but other close frontrunners, including Russia, the United States, Pakistan. He also noted that the simple act of taking a selfie isn't deadly. The hazard arises when people take risks while trying to get that perfect shot.
And I quote Agam Bansal, who is the lead author, what worries me the most is that it is a preventable cause of death. Just because you want a perfect selfie, because you want a lot of likes and shares on Facebook and Twitter or other social media, I don't think this is worth compromising a life for such a thing.
Yeah. Also, an alarming number of these selfie-related fatalities involved young people. More than 85% of the victims were aged between 10 and 30. And while the number of deaths reported in the study may seem high, Bansal said that there could be many more that have just not been documented due to issues with reporting. So if you're taking a look at 2018 alone, there have already been several selfie-related deaths, with a man in India being mauled to death by an injured bear while trying to take a selfie. This was in May. Another incident, an 18-year-old hiker fell off a cliff in Yosemite. And shortly after, a 30-year-old California woman met with a similar fate while hiking at Pitchet Rocks National Lakeshore in Michigan.
So, and that was within a relatively short span of time as well.
Yeah.
I mean, from May to September.
And also just the nature element of it, because, you know, nature is very, very beautiful and it's very picturesque. And I guess maybe there's all sorts of calculated risk that people are taking to get that perfect shot.
One possible way to get around selfie deaths would be no selfie zones, banning them in certain areas such as water bodies of water, mountain peaks, and at the top of tall buildings. And these sorts of efforts to stop people taking dangerous selfies have already been tried in several countries, including India, Russia, and Indonesia.
So 3 years ago, Russia launched a safe selfie campaign, which featured the slogan, "Even a million likes on social media are not worth your life and well-being." This is according to the BBC, a graphic with icons of bad selfie ideas and stick figures posing on power poles and holding guns was also distributed. A very innovative campaign. Other countries have done the same. Mumbai has 16 no selfie zones across the city, while a national park in Indonesia proposed creating a safe spot for photos. So there's this video made by Iceland Academy that's a guide to safe selfies. Take a listen.
In today's class, I'll be showing you how to practice safe selfies. Even though Iceland has a scenery to die for, it doesn't actually mean that you need to die for it. We all love a good selfie, and some go to great lengths to capture them. But please don't take any risks by going out on slippery ledges. I can assure you, you will still get lots of likes. I know you want to look hot in a selfie, but some hot springs and geysers can be over 100 degrees Celsius, so please admire from a distance. Some beaches in Iceland are known for their unpredictable waves and strong current. So one minute you are Cara Delevingne, and the next you are Sarah Never Seen. So please watch out not being too close to the water. It's really easy to take amazing selfies here in Iceland. You don't even need a filter. So please don't take any risks. Follow local information, obey the signs, and stay safe.
That's, you know, that's a whole video in, you know, instructional do's and don'ts when it comes to going to Iceland.
And, you know, that's the kind of tone usually reserved for PSAs, right?
And, yeah.
And that kind of gives credence to the lead author's suggestion that selfies are becoming a public health hazard. I never thought I would say that. But 250 deaths is of something very, very, very avoidable. Seems like something to consider. Do you think they're becoming a problem?
Well, I mean, it certainly is because, you know, I mean, going back to this initial premise about, you know, how many likes is a particular photo worth, and the fact that people are going to these extreme lengths to grab these very perfect images, it does seem a bit concerning that we're seeing this trend emerging. We've got safety videos, we've got do's and don'ts. We want to hear from you. Tell us what you think. In the meantime, we'll hear some music from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Scar Tissue. It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.